Okay, very good evening to all, huh? Brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today we will start our puja. Today is 27 already, huh? Oh yeah, 27 February 2020, Thursday class at Su Yan's house. Jing Yap, Luca Lee Hong nominated. Tiam Hua. Ah, last week, Joe. Safe journey, Sandu. Yeah. Ah, yeah, lighter, dear me. Oh, okay. Oh, sir. So, yeah, la, do a puja la, that day. Yeah. We make offering lah. Yeah, 我知道. Contribute 一下. Suggest 多少? 200. Okay. 跟水安讲. Yeah. Hey, yeah, 我讲他, Sado. Come. We can start the puja. Okay. Let us line up, huh, for puja. Yeah. Suyan. Pamasri kong chabji ho, chabsi ho, chabji ho, Kwan In Tan in Cameron, chabsi ho, Phu Sien Tan. So donate from Cameron Fund 200 each. So, Pamasri, you get it reimbursed. Yeah, but they will go in the morning. They will do everything in the morning. So we contribute to their common pool. Then everything they do included. Okay. Sadhu. 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 Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 Sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Then let us prepare for puja. Compose your mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Arahang sama sambuto bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipano bhagavato savakasango sanghang namami. Okay, you can be seated and turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We shall chant the vandana onward. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majjhapamadatthana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapa dipena, dipena tamadang sina, tiloka dipang sambuddhang, pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambarayutena, dupena hang sugang hina, puja ye puja niyang tang, puja bhajana mutamang. Vanna ganda guno petang, etang kusuma santatin. Puja yami monindasa, siri pada sarorohe. Pujayami buddhang kasumena nena, punnena matena cha hotu mokang, pupang milayati yata idang me, Kayo tatayati vinasa bhavang adivasetu no bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivasetu no bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivasetu no bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now we are chanting the puja aspiration based on our understanding of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that causes and loses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially for those who had the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay homage to Tripa Jam. Buddhang pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay, you can be seated. Yeah, good evening, yes. If no space, can sit here, in front here. Pass a cushion over for her. Oh, there's still one more place there. There? Oh. Okay, very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. We had just finished our puja chanting, so now we will be having our half an hour of silent inner awareness meditation. Oh, okay. I was told by Suyan there is one or two new people, huh? Who is the Zen? Zen. Z-A-N, is it? Huh? Oh, okay. So you are the only new one. Huh? Okay. You meditate before? Oh, like that easy. Means not new. Pama Suri's house. Sweet and sour first time. Okay, so easy. You just listen attentively. Then you know how to meditate, you go ahead. So this awareness-based meditation is very easy when you understand. What you need to do is just relax body and mind. Means don't do anything. Then maintain silent. Or we call it awareness. When you don't think, you are aware. Or the other way to understand it is when you are attentive. You may be listening or observing something or really paying attention. When you are attentive without thought, that is awareness. The moment your thought comes in, you are lost in thought, you are thinking. So meditation is not to think. Meditation is to relax and maintain attention. Or sometimes I use the word just aware or mindful. But I realize a lot of Buddhists, they don't understand what is mindful and what is awareness. So I use the word attention, which is better. When you pay attention, means you listen attentively. True or not? Means you don't think. The moment you think, you are preoccupied with what you think, you are not attentive already. Whatever the teacher teach in the school or in the lecture hall or class, you are not really listening already. But when you are attentive, you are without thought. You are just attentively listening. Yeah. The moment you are attentively listening, the moment you try to perceive, develop the understanding, then you may not be attentive at those short moments. But if that topic is something that you heard before, then you can continuously listen. Do you understand? But if it's new, you like don't know what to do. Then that time your thought will start. Your thinking activity will start. Then you are no longer paying attention. Then, because it doesn't really interest you and you cannot understand. So you will not follow. You cannot be attentive anymore. So meditation is no need to know. Whereas when you pay attention, you have to listen to understand. Meditation, no need. Attentively relax, maintain awareness. Don't do anything. Then the mind will settle down. Yeah. This is the fastest way. No need method, no need technique. Yeah. Just relax, silent. Yeah. Then let the mind become very quiet. Yeah. Until it becomes so quiet, you will experience the true silent mind, the stillness. You can realize that means you have progressed. You have developed the meditation very well. So tonight we are off the light. Then I will give you some simple short instruction. If you understand what I say just now, you don't need instruction. You just relax, silent. Make sure you have a proper stable posture, backbone straight. Then just breathe out and breathe in normally, naturally. Don't try to force it. Don't try to focus or concentrate. Just relax and let the breathing go on naturally. Then maintain awareness or maintain the silence within. You can be at your breath, the awareness and your breath move as one. Or you can just remain silent. No need to know anything. Then your focus can be anywhere. If you have an object of meditation, you go to your object of meditation. If you don't have, you just go to your breathing. Just be aware of your breathing. Let the breathing go on naturally, but your awareness follow. Like the Buddha say, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. Just maintain the awareness or pay attention. That's it. Then no need to know. And let the mind become quiet by itself. When you are just relaxed and don't do anything, your mind become very different. You will observe a lot of things within your former mind. All of your daily heedless thinking that continue to arise, you just let it arise. Don't suppress it, don't fight it, don't try to do anything, just allow it to be. Then maintain attention or awareness. Just aware of it. Understand that this thing is going on. If you don't give it any more thought energy, don't pay any more attention to it, just maintain awareness, then it will slow down, until your mind becomes very quiet. So you can do this. This is the fastest way for you to settle down your mind and become very quiet. Yeah. Then when it becomes very quiet, you can stabilize that silence by going for an object of meditation. So if you don't have any object of meditation, the Buddha recommends the breathing. So you maintain attention at the nostril there. Then when the breath moves, you pay attention and follow. When you can follow the breath, means breathing in, aware, breathing out, aware. That is mindfulness, that is sati, without thought. When you are in sati, your mind becomes very quiet, very still. Then you can do it until it's very stable. Means you stabilize your silent mind, your mindfulness, and you are able to be aware naturally. Then you continue to relax into it and maintain that training to be peaceful, to be aware, to be mindful within. Until the mind becomes very quiet, very still. But as you go through the process, you will experience many things. Sometimes you will immediately experience the tranquility of mind. Or sometimes for people who are still quite new, you will experience a type of calmness. They call piti, spiritual calmness, spiritual joy. Or sometimes it's quite intense, it becomes like a spiritual rupture. Like you rupture into joy, it's a type of meditative training. When you can do it, you can experience that joy, that piti. And you continue to relax and silent, it will become more and more refined. Then you will experience bliss, sukhang, blissfulness of mind. Then you continue to relax into it and let it be. The mind become more and more quiet, until it become completely still, no more movement. When you can do that, means you have progressed, you have done well. So when the mind become very still, very quiet, don't do anything, just silent everything. By then, your breathing also become very subtle, like no more breathing. Don't worry, just stay there. Until the mind enters sati. When the mind enters sati, the subtle breathing all will come back to you, like you can detect them. Then all your activity or slightest movement within your former mind or kaya, you will experience it like magnified. Means your mind has become very sensitive, has become very mindful. Then later on, as you stabilize this, you use it to meditate and you can understand many things. Then after you have become very stable, very skillful, you can actually move your attention down to your heart area. Silence everything and just maintain attention at the heart area. When you can detect your heartbeat or any of the vibration there, just silence your mind and just stay there. Let the movement, activity and the awareness move as one. Initially the heartbeat and the vibration is like very gross. Especially the heartbeat is like pupa, pupa, but no sound. you can hear the heartbeat like very strong, very strong. But as you develop mindfulness, silent awareness over it, don't do anything, be with it. Then it will slow down, until that heartbeat or vibration become very quiet, very still. Yeah. Then finally it's like you hardly can feel it. Yeah. But the clarity of that movement is there. Yeah. And your whole brain, your whole mind become very still, very quiet. Yeah. Until you can just be aware of that movement. Yeah. That is the silent mind, your meditative mind. And that is the mind that can meditate and understand. After that, don't do anything. Just maintain awareness. Then you will understand what is going on. You will know. And finally, let you develop the understanding of who you are, what you are, how you function as a human being. How the consciousness within move out of that silence. How upon contact of the mind with the sense data and your sense organ, the moment of contact, it trigger off consciousness, followed by a lot of activity, the content of consciousness. All this movement, you will be able to be aware. Just aware enough, then let it be, aware, let it be. Then later on, when you come out of meditation, you will understand many things. Then sometimes the silent mind just awaken, like insight into phenomena, and realize the profound universal characteristics or truth. The universal characteristics are impermanent, suffering state, non-self nature, or empty nature or existence. So all this will arise by itself naturally. Okay, I will let you continue with the training. Then for those who already know how to meditate, you just do what you understand. For those who are new, you try your best. Just relax, maintain awareness. Then let the mind settle down, silent everything. For those who need a certain type of support or skillful means to help your mind settle down, you can also use it. Especially the mind sweeping method followed by metta, and combined with loving kindness recitation. This will help you to decondition your heedless thinking so that for the time being, all these mental hindrances that arise due to your lack of spiritual faculties, they will be accentuated or like temporarily. Yeah? You are able to decondition that heedless thinking and keep the five mental hindrances from arising. Yeah? So this is a temporary skillful means. So when you can do that, your mind also can settle down, become very quiet. But if you know the first instruction, you don't really need to do this. But it's your choice. Yeah? Then after that, like what I say, once it is already quiet, you can use anapanasati, mindfulness of in and out breath, to stabilize it. Yeah? Until the mind enters sati, very quiet, very still. Yeah? If your object of meditation is different, you can also use them and follow exactly the same instruction. As long as you are mindful and relaxed, don't try to know, don't arise the thought. That understanding will make you very peaceful, very calm, fully aware. Then your meditation object also will actually become very, very quiet, very subtle. You can be doing dynamic meditation or rising and falling of the abdomen, or chanting, or whatever. Yeah. So all these skillful means is just a initial skillful means to anchor the mind, to develop the mindfulness, and to allow it to settle down, until the mind become quiet and still, until the mind enters deep, means you realize your true mind, your silent mind. Okay, I will stop the instruction, then I will set the alarm. After the half an hour is up, the alarm will go off. Upon hearing the alarm, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come over the meditation. Okay. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness or mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind states that you need to carry forward into your daily life. So ultimately, it's the way you live your life. There must be awareness, mindfulness within. So the daily mindfulness is the real training of the mind. The meditation will take off when that mind has been trained to be ever mindful. You cannot develop the stability of it until it's ever mindful, constantly meditative. You have not realized heedfulness. Only the heedful will realize enlightenment. Okay, turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samantha Chakawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti peso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vicca Charana Sampano Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipasiko Panayiko Pachatang Veditabbo Vinohiti Supatipano Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipano Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipano Bhagavato Savakasango Samichi patipano bhagavato savakasango Yadidang chatari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakeneyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punya Ketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect Tripaja. Bedang Pajami Damang Pajami Sanghang Pajami. Okay, you can be seated. Just relax body and mind, yeah? And maintain some of our attention. Then we will have our second session. Second session is meditation reporting, yeah? Followed by whatever question you may have. Yeah? So you just have to put up your hand, eh? Then we will pass you the mic. Then you can report your meditation or ask whatever question related to the meditation and the teaching. Yeah. Okay. Anybody? Nobody? Oh, Tammy is here. Where is Tammy? Tammy at the back. Oh, hidden. Can't see her. So everybody depend on her. Never mind. I try to check whether that notes. That did I send out the short notes for? In the email. There is a 23rd of February. You all receive it? Huh? Cannot display. Can remember what is the date or not? Did I send it out in the Kayamita there? My Kayamita? Huh? There's a 23rd of February one in there. January 12th I have discussed at the Tuesday class, I think. Only the January 12th. Oh, means I didn't send out the other one. Jinhao, the one you have it, the short notes, 23rd February. Can you open that one? Oh, it's here. Oh, no. Oh, by email. Yeah, I think it's by email, okay. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, you can ask, yes.
Radio, yeah. Is the spiritual nature and true mind the same?
Oh, thank different. You. different. I will explain that.
Sorry, some teachers say the mind is permanent. So, you know, whereas we understand, I understand that the mind
is
not permanent. Thank you.
It depends on how they understand it, because there are two aspects of mind. So whether you referring to which mind, if you talk about the mundane mind, how can it be permanent? Understand not? The true mind is also very difficult to define whether it's permanent or impermanent, because the true mind is the unconditioned. It's just that nature. So you cannot say that it's permanent or impermanent, but to me, that word is not relevant. Not relevant in the sense that it's the unconditioned, it's not a duality. It's not within the conditioned world where you can try to express something as permanent or impermanent. Yeah. But your first question is more important, yes? By now, I think most of you all should understand the difference between the two. You say, when you talk about spiritual nature, what is actually this spiritual nature? Then there is the other one you asked, the true mind. Or the true nature, is it the same? It's definitely not the same, is it? If you have read the Green Book, Who Are You, What Are You? You will definitely understand that these two are not the same. What is this spiritual nature? The word clearly indicate to you is a nature. Maybe I use the other one, karmic nature. This one easier to understand, isn't it? Each and every living being, we also have a karmic nature. So what is this karmic nature? It's the summation of all your segmented life. Mental volition. So summation of all the segmented life. You can use the word infinity. Every segmented life you come, like this life, this form and mind is your this segment of your life. Then every time you take birth, there is a segment of your life. There is you are born into one segment, means can be any of the 31 planes. During that birth, every volition which has mental intention that you arise, you sum them all up, it becomes your karmic nature. So this one is a nature. It's not a being. You cannot say it resides somewhere. It is like recorded in nature, nature's law. So each and every living being has a karmic nature. But when you come to spiritual nature, the word that differentiates the two is spiritual. So what is spiritual nature? It's the summation of all your cultivation in it, spiritual cultivation that you have developed. But this one is used in a different sense. This one is only for great beings who go beyond the sainthood way and the arahantship way. When you go the way of the bodhisattva to perfect yourself to become Sammasambuddha, then you will cultivate the perfection of the 10 paramitas. So every life you come, when you are able to connect to your true nature, your true mind, then only you can cultivate. Then as you develop the cultivation, this one develops. Then this one, like last time I explained, you got two. Eh? One, karmic nature. One, spiritual nature. This one, the moment you are born, it is there. Like the Buddha said, your segmented life, form and mind. You are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. So this one is immediately conditioning you. It is also that nature that conditioned your form and mind to come out. So this one is the living being. Yeah? Or your five aggregate of form and mind. So karmic nature immediately come into effect the moment you are born. Yeah, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. But this spiritual nature, you cannot inherit from it. You cannot receive anything from it until your this segmented life, or we call it the living being, or this five aggregate of form and mind, which in this case, this life, is our human being. For my nature, you call Brother Theo, this is my form and mind. This life. Yours is your present form and mind. So unless you have meditate, silent, go through the awakening, then you finally connect to your true mind, your true nature. So this true mind and your true nature, when you are able to connect, connect doesn't mean connect with a wire or what. Connect means you realize that, awaken to it. Then only this one manifests. This one actually is there all the time. But you cannot inherit from it. You cannot connect to it. You need to connect to your true nature. Sorry, should be this direction. Huh? You have to meditate and connect. I better use the word. Meditate. And connect. Once you can meditate and connect, then this one will allow you to inherit from your spiritual nature. The moment you connect, you will awaken. You will realize a lot of things. You can understand a lot of things. Then your past cultivation, your perfection, all will come back to you. So this one is spiritual nature. Understand? This one is karmic nature. This one is your true mind, true nature, your silent mind. So mind, there are two. One is the mundane mind. Thinking mind. The thinking mind is impermanent, dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. Whereas the moment your thinking mind or your mundane mind is silent and still, then that true mind manifests. Because each and every form of mind that come or living being, you are connected to the true mind. The true mind is already connected, but you are not aware because you have not realized it. You have not developed the cultivation to be aware of it. That's why you cannot penetrate. You cannot connect means you cannot develop the meditation. You cannot be with the true mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind, the true nature, to have the ability to see things as they are, to awaken, to insight into phenomena. So all meditation, you need to use the true mind. To live life, you will use the mundane mind. This one is very difficult to off. I also don't know how to off. the alarm keep on coming off. Yeah, it's a new phone. I also don't know how to use it. It's okay. I think it should be off already. Yeah. So the mundane mind is for you to use to live life, to experience whatever you want to experience in this existential world. You can also use the mundane mind to cultivate. But to cultivate, you have to train the mundane mind. But you have to start from the mundane mind. Every living being has to start from the mundane mind, unless you are a very special being like Hui Ning. He was born without a mundane mind. He is a very unique being. The moment he is born, he don't have mundane mind. That's the reason why the moment he heard the Diamond Sutta, one stands out, the mind must have no dwelling. He straight away become enlightened, awakened. Do you know why? Yeah? I explained to you all before. Yeah. Why? How was he able to do that? When he hear, the mind must have no dwelling. And now I repeat, you listen. Your mind must have no dwelling. Why are you not awakened? How come he straight away awakened? Because I told you he was born without the mundane mind. That's why he don't behave like you, think a lot, want to know. He check. Hey? But he don't have mundane mind, his mind never dwell. It's that true nature. He's straight away born with that type of mind. That's why the moment he hear truth, he understand and he awaken. That's why after that he was advised to go to the fifth patriarch. Because he asked that person who recited it, where did he learn this chanting? He said, this chanting is amazing. Isn't it? The moment you recite that stanza, I become completely awakened. Then he told him, it's from the fifth patriarch. So he went and see the fifth patriarch. So after he met the fifth patriarch, of course, he was told to go to the kitchen, I think. Yeah? To the kitchen area where they asked him to pound rice, do all the kitchen kiosks, carry water and all those things. Then later on, after about 8 months, the fifth patriarch told all the disciples, he said, enough. Don't waste your time anymore, he said. And he used this word which is very good. Don't waste your time chasing after tinted merits. You know what is tinted merit, right? Yeah? How to spell? Yeah? T-A-I-N-T-E, yeah? E-D. Tinted merits. So this type of merits is not the pure merits. Understand or not? Tinted means it will not make you enlightened. It will not give you the eternal life. It's not the pure merits. So this one, no matter how much you accumulate, you still have to come back. You still subject to birth and death. You still have to come back to samsara to suffer. That's why go immediately, you say. Write me a stanza, you say. Whoever who can write me a stanza to denote your ability to understand the meditation that the Buddha has taught you, he will pass over the inheritance to him. He will appoint the person to be the sixth patriarch. So everybody was excited. Then suddenly most of the disciples say, no, we shouldn't compete with our Sen Siu, the Da Si Siong, means the chief disciple. He said, we all leave it to him. We don't have to come out with any stanza. So this Sen Siu was under great pressure. Great pressure. Because the expectation is so great. And you know what pressure him or not? The thought. What happened if my stanza is not good enough? So the fear. So finally, he came out with a, he thought, brilliant, a mundane, brilliant solution. You know what he did? Middle of the night, nobody. He went to the wall, he write the stanza. Then he said, next morning when people see, or the master see, the fifth period see, if he say it's good, then I will say I am the one who wrote. Otherwise, I keep quiet. So the next morning, there was a big crowd there, commotion. Everybody was praising the stanza. Wow, this is beautiful, this is beautiful. Then the fifth period came. He looked at the stanza. Then he said, not bad. Follow the stanza, he said, you will have good life. Then he calls the seal. He said, do you know you are at the gate of enlightenment, but you have not gone in, you have not realized it. Based on what I have told you, you should realize it. Go back and write me another stanza. Then I will pass over the patriarchship to you. Since you try and try and try for the whole day, he couldn't come up with another stanza. But he doesn't understand. Then in between, some time I think later in the day, when one of the Novik monks was reciting Sun Tzu's poem, passed by the kitchen. Hui Ning, the future Shakespeare, heard the poem. The moment he heard the poem, he knew that poem lacked penetrative understanding. Because Sun Tzu's poem was based on his thought-based meditation. He said his body is like a Bodhi tree. You know why it's a Bodhi tree? A tree of enlightenment. And he was not wrong, actually. Yeah. Then his mind is like a mirror bright on the stand. And that one, he got it completely wrong. That one is the mundane mind. That's why he cannot penetrate. He said, you must keep on polishing the mirror, he said, until it shines, so that no dust can alight. Dust means defilement. Understand not? So the moment Hui Ning heard this poem, he asked the Novik monk, where did you get this poem? He said, everybody is reciting it. The fifth period recommend that we recite and cultivate it. He said, can you bring me there? Yeah. Actually, he did not say that this poem lacked that. So when he was there, he was an illiterate. He didn't know how to read. So there was an officer, I think, from outside who came. He asked the officer to help him to write another poem. He said, I also have a poem. And the officer said, why can't you write? He said, I'm an illiterate. Huh? Illiterate? You want to write a Zen poem? Then Hui Ning told this officer, he said, if you are a true cultivator, don't slight anybody, he said. You may never know. Because the one that you think is like don't know anything, he can turn out to be the real one. The one that who is very impressive may not be the real one. Wow, the officer straight away changed his stand. He said, okay, I will do it for you, but remember to take me across when you become enlightened. So he straight away recited. You know. He recited that poem, completely wiped off Sun Tzu. How did he have the ability? It was because he was born without the mundane mind. So his first stanza line was, Bohi is not a tree. Puti peng wu su, is it? But Bohi is enlightenment. Nothing to do with the tree. Then the true mind, he said, Ming jing yi fei tai. He said the true mind is not the mirror bright on the stand. There is no stand, there is no mirror at all. How did he know? Then he said, originally there was nothing. 本来无一物，何处惹尘埃? Then where can the dust alight? Do you know why he was able to do that? He didn't even meditate and cultivate. He just understand. But he was born without the mundane mind. That's why he know this true mind has nothing. It's not the mundane mind that keep on reflecting and all those things, creating duality. So this understanding make him completely different. Then he say, what is dust? You created it through your own delusion. Because you cling on to duality. So Sensu's idea is, he is doing thought-based meditation, like trying to develop mindfulness, understand? So he polished until he shine, means he used the mundane mind to be ever mindful, understand? He forced his mundane mind to be ever mindful, means attentive. So that every time defilement come in, like greed, hatred, and delusion, or defilement come in, fear, worry, anxiety, he wants to finish it off, means get rid of it. So if you do this type of cultivation, I ask you a very simple question. Can you awaken? Yeah? You can't even live life, I tell you. True or not? Every day, ever mindful like that. But the Buddha defined heedfulness as ever mindful, constantly meditative. This one is after you have understood what awareness is. Before he understood what awareness is, he tried to be ever mindful. Means he got his mind. Defilement cannot come in. I must not have fear. I must not have worry, anxiety. I must not have greed, selfishness, and all those things. If you do that, how can you live life? True or not? Then how can you awaken? Well, that is not the silent mind. That is the mundane mind with all the duality. So when you create good, whatever that is not that will be evil. Where he cling on to wholesome, he rejected unwholesome. That's how he got trapped. He's supposed to relax and silent and let the mundane mind cease. Then no need to do, understand? After the mundane mind cease, means you can be ever mindful, understand? Without thought, you are ever mindful. You don't have to be like using the thought to be ever mindful. Do you understand? It's like you try to be mindful. The thought is actively trying to be mindful. How can you do it? But when you understand the true mind is automatically manifest when you don't have any thought, when the mundane mind sees, it shines for. It's already fully aware, but that nature is just aware, finished. That's why it's ever mindful. Without any need to do. Without any need to polish until it shines. It's already that nature. Why must you do? You only have to understand this nature can never manifest when you are with the mundane mind. Where you can only do one thing at a time. Either you are aware and silent inside, or you are lost in thought. True or not? Preoccupied with the thinking process, the sense experience. Means you are with the mundane mind. That's why meditation, you need to go back to the true mind, the silent mind. The moment you are with the mundane mind, you are doing thought-based meditation, you are no longer aware. You are no longer silent, and you cannot see things as they are. You try to use your brain, your memory, your conditioning, your views, your opinion to see things. That is delusion. Before you are enlightened, without the wisdom connected, this brain has delusion. especially self-delusion, the egoic mind. That's why the evil roots are there. The mental hindrances are there, because the spiritual faculties are not there. So now you can understand. Angie. You ask the question, is spiritual nature and true mind or true nature the same? No, different. So as I explained, I use karmic nature to explain first. So this one is easy. The moment you are born, the karmic nature take over. You are born of it. Heir to it, conditioned and supported by it. And you are what you are because of this karmic nature. That's why you have to train your mind and take care of karma. Otherwise, your karmic nature will become, I don't know what word to use. Your karmic nature become what? Rotten. Or the karmic nature that has a lot of problem called what? It will lead to your karmic downfall. Because you reap what you sow. If you don't take care of karma, your karmic nature will be very, very negative. Has a lot of problem. Then every time you come, it will condition you into negativity, leading to suffering, affliction, and all those things. Then before you meditate and connect to this true mind or true nature, you cannot inherit from the spiritual nature. So this one you can only inherit after you connect. So this one I better write down. Can inherit. From this spiritual nature. Spiritual nature. So with this, I hope it's clear. Okay? So when you understand, it is very different. When you don't understand, you are using your thought to guess. You come up with concept, idea, and you think is this. So to you, is these two is the same. No, because you think the word nature and nature is the same. No. That's why the word in front is different. Karmic and spiritual, different. This one cannot create for my mind. Do you understand? This one is spiritual nature, spiritual understanding, perfection, the 10 perfection and all those things. Whereas this one is responsible for birth and death. It's all karmic, mental intention involved. It's a summation of all your segmented life, mental intention. They will become your karmic nature. So this is summation of spiritual nature, is summation of all your perfection after you connect. Before you connect, you cannot inherit, you cannot continue with that cultivation. You read the green book. Who are you? Who am I? What am I? That one explain these two very clearly. Sadhu, thanks for your good question. Otherwise, they also cannot learn. Any other question? Able to find that short note? No, you put in the website, 23rd of February. I on it, it become PDF. No, got a link. Oh, no short note out yet. But I remember there's a January and a 4th of February. February 9th, huh? You found it? Oh, February 9th. Oh, okay. Oh. Yeah. your is it? Not yet. Ah, came out already. Mine came out already. I can forward to you. How can I send the file? Oh, you send to my camera. Are you all try to open? Huh? Not yet, come out. Ah, okay. I send mine faster.
Okay.
I also send. So you got two. Okay. So you can open, huh? Okay. So I go through this one with you, then you will understand better. This one is Sunday class dated 9th of February. Point number one, we need to check our mind all the time. Is our mind tranquil and still without thought? How many of you check? Hey, most of you should be able to check, isn't it? That's why I told you all under the unique code, whenever you are not peaceful and unhappy, what is happening? The evil roots are there. That is how you check your cultivation. If you don't check, how can you progress? I repeat, we need to check our mind all the time, not once a while. All the time. Means you really must have the sati inside you. The slightest movement, you aware. Then when you understand the essential Dhamma, you will see them very clearly, especially the three evil roots. So what do you check? Is your mind tranquil and still? I put in the bracket one. How many of you are reading? You don't have this one. The bracket is what? Without thought. So, it's very easy to check, isn't it? Is our mind tranquil and still? Without thought. Don't go and tell me gratitude only when I meditate. If you can do that when you meditate, it's not bad. But not good enough. Because you have to be throughout the day tranquil and still. This is what heedfulness is all about. When you stabilize your mindfulness, awareness, the mundane mind is like hardly arise. You only arise it when you need it. That's why it's throughout the day ever mindful. Silent, peaceful, tranquil, still. So this is the mind of an enlightened being. This is the mind of a cultivator who has developed the ability to be mindful, to be aware. So check. After that, what did I say? Are there any grievances or negativity of mind state? You know what is grievances are? Complain, bosong, unhappy, or negative mind state, cunning, deceiving, try to take advantage and all those things. Then you check, have I deviated from my intended cultivation path? Means, am I training my mind to be ever mindful, to be heedful? Am I following Avijja Sutta, constantly listening to the Dhamma, straightening your view, develop the faith, then develop the contemplative wisdom, second turning wisdom. Have I reflected, contemplated, inquired, and developed all this understanding? So if you have, means you are on the path. Then you will reach step three, faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Then after that is the initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara. So all this will ensure that you are on the correct path. That's why I stated here, have, when you check, you have to check, have you deviated from your intended cultivation path? And the best check is Avijja Sutta. Where are you? Which step are you? If you can clear the fifth and the sixth, actually the fourth and the fifth step is most important. After you have faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, the fifth step is what? The fourth step is what? You must have the initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara. Then when you have initial wisdom, your mind will be different. Because it doesn't stir and react like before. The initial wisdom will allow you to see things as they are, be at peace with every moment of sense experience. That's how you have more space between thought. You are more aware, less reactive. That's how your daily mindfulness stabilizes. That's why step 5 is sati sampajana. When you have that, step 6 and 7 is a natural consequence. Step 6 is what? Sense restraint. Your precept, you cannot break anymore. Then the 3 way of right conduct, step 7, you will have them. So this Avijja Sutta is a very good check. Huh? Then point number 2. All beings have the Buddha nature. Now you know, Angie. We just need to have these 3 things. Faith, sincerity, and perseverance. Then all obstacles can be overcome to achieve our noble wishes. Noble wishes means you have this noble wish to become noble ones or enlightened ones. So this note 2 is also another very important guide. Check whether you have the faith, you are sincere, and you have the perseverance or not. Or are you diligently cultivating? If you do that, all your noble wishes will come true. Then, note 3 is that day we discussed the Surangama Sutta. Like just now we discussed the 6 Patriarch Sutta. So the Surangama Sutta say from 0 comes 1. Then from 1 comes infinity. This is how the mundane mind creates. Initially is the true mind. 0 is the source. Your true nature, your original nature, your oneness nature. Some call it the void or emptiness. 1 is the first thought of ignorance or the one Dhamma or the mundane mind. From there, it starts to create. That's how the Buddha say, mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief. That refers to the mundane mind. When mind arises, everything arises. Okay? Then infinity, that symbol stands for infinity. So infinity is the infinite Dhamma born of mind's creation or invention. We must understand the 2 aspects of mind, namely, the mundane mind and the true mind. So now do you really understand the 2 aspects of mind? Yeah? This one is easy. What is the first aspect? Yeah? What can your mind do? Hey, feedback. Otherwise you can never understand. Otherwise you only listen to words. Then you take it as knowledge. Then you repeat what I say. You won't learn. You have to have the ability to express it when you understand. What do you mean by mundane mind? You have been using it since birth until now. You still don't know what that mind is. The thinking mind. That think a lot. But do you really know what is that thinking mind or not? Can you really see your thought? You always use another thought to recall the last thought. Understand or not? You have true memory. You never see your own thought. When you are mindful, aware, you always see that movement, that activity, that perception. The moment of feeling, moment of perception, moment of sankhara activity, mental state. Your awareness is there. That's how you see. That's how you understand how this mundane mind stir, react, and create delusion leading to affliction. Born of what? Wrong view. You don't have wrong view, your mind will not stir, will not react. Meditation is to see all this. Then you will understand the essential Dhamma of the Buddha, the words of the Buddha. Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. His famous Dhammapada verse. First thing he teach you is, what is this mind? And the mind that he want you to understand is the mundane mind first. That's why he said that mundane mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When that mind arises, all things arise. So you know that this mind is very powerful. So what must you do? You must determine to train this mind, understand not? So that this mind is heedful, ever mindful, so that it will never do wrong thing. Then when you read through Dhammapada verse 1, you will understand. But Dhammapada verse 1, the Buddha say, after you have understood what mind is, after he has told you that mind is a forerunner of all things, mind is chief, and when mind arises, all things arise, then he said, you must take care of mind. Otherwise, do you know what happened or not? If you don't train your mind, you don't take care of the mundane mind, you don't straighten your view, you will have a heedless mind. So when you have a heedless mind, you will act, speak, and think with a heedless mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then what happened? Suffering will? Suffering will follow you. Is that what you want? You want to be miserable? You want to suffer? Go ahead. Don't train your mind. Carry on with your heedless thinking, careless attitude. Don't care. You live the life you want through your own heedless way, deluded way. But if you really value your life, treasure your life, what must you do? Look at Dhammapada verse 2. He said, if you are serious about life, you should be heedful. You should train your mind to be ever mindful, constantly meditative. So that when you act, speak, and think with a heedful mind that doesn't have the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then happiness will follow you, like your shadow that never leaves you. That is what life is all about. So to be happy or to be miserable is your choice. If you choose Dhammapada verse 1, don't blame others. Don't go and complain. Why God is so unfair? That time you depend on God. But actually, there is no need to have a God. When you understand nature's law itself is God. Well, that is the one that decides. So these essential Dhammas are very important. Then we have Dhammapada verse 183, the advice of the Buddha. Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23 on the importance of heedfulness. Especially verse 21. The Buddha say, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die. The heedless are as if dead. So if you are not heedful, you don't stand a chance to become enlightened. You are as if dead, spiritually dead. Means there is no spiritual awakening for you. There is no real life for you. When you hear all these Dhammapada words, and you don't wake up, I don't know what to do with you. Your life, no, you are not serious about life. You want to be heedless, and the heedless are as if dead, no. The moment I read all those Dhammapada words, I determine all out. I never turn back. That's how you cultivate. So, this essential Dhamma, it brings about condition for me to let you understand. This Sunday at JBA, they invite me to give a talk. So the title is also on the essential Dhamma of Lord Buddha. Understanding the essential Dhamma of Lord Buddha. I will explain the whole teaching and how they are all interconnected and how this essential Dhamma are very important. When you understand them, you know how to cultivate. You know how to use them to live life. Then you can transform. Bring about great transformation in your life. You will change for the better. Personality-wise, character-wise, understanding-wise, wisdom-wise, you become completely different. That's why the essential Dhamma of the Buddha is very, very important. You know why it's called essential or not? Something that you need in it, essential in it. So without the understanding of the essential Dhamma, it's very difficult for you to understand the teaching. And all this essential Dhamma, do you know where they come from? Very good. Four Noble Truths. And this Four Noble Truths is the essence of the Buddha's teaching. He can summarize to you all of life, mundane and supramundane, into just these Four Noble Truths. And he calls it Noble Truth because when you awaken to them, you become noble ones or enlightened ones. That's why it's so powerful. Who can do that? Summarize to you all of life, mundane and supramundane, into just Four Noble Truths. You just imagine how great a being he is. That's the reason why in 1971, when I received that book, Chief Reverend's first edition of the What Buddhist Believe, when I saw the Four Noble Truths, my nature inside shined forth with joy. It's like I heard this truth before. Then straight away inside tell me, no need to search already. This is the one. Nobody in this universe, I say, can summarize all of life into just four beautiful noble truths like that. That time my nature even tell me, even if I awaken to this teaching, I cannot summarize it so well. Because there are too many of the essential Dhamma that you have learned. And how to teach, how to start, from which corner. But they are all interconnected. And they spin off from this Four Noble Truths. That's why the power of the Sammasambuddha is to summarize all of life to you into just Four Noble Truths. So simple. So beautiful. So you have the time. Do drop by. Otherwise, you still can get the recording from SGBA. And I hope Jin Hao also asked Pang to help record, because he is not free. So when you listen, it will help you a lot. Then Sui An suggested another thing. He said nowadays, relative, a lot of people panic, coronavirus. So he wants me to teach the audience how to apply the essential Dhamma to confront all these things so that you have the understanding, so that you don't need to panic and fear. Okay? So, you didn't answer me. What is the mandibha? You haven't answered me. I only explain to you how you can really see them. Do you really know what mundane mind is or not? You know thinking mind, isn't it? But can you really understand what that thinking mind is? How did it think? Is there a thinker behind the thought? Hey, find out. No, don't, because Brother Theo say there is no thinker. Then go and quote my word, no, the thought thing itself. Then what is thought? Again, quote my word, thought is respond to memory. No memory, no thought. All the answer correct, but don't understand. When you see it, it's completely different. There's no need to remember. Straight away from the nature, it come out. But it saw how it arises. How the aggregates of mind, one by one. Then the teacher Samuppada, the dwelling. How it very fast go through. Like last time, Bang Zhe. The moment you say contact, you already reach suffering. Very fast, because you don't have the training of the Avijja Sutta. When you don't have initial wisdom, feeling cannot remain as pure feeling. Upon contact, feeling arise, immediately it condition craving. Because you don't have wisdom, there is nothing to prompt you. When you have initial wisdom, spontaneously it will arise. Thing is just the way it is. Then your mind will not stir, will not react. It will not be conditioned into craving. That's how it can happen. Then you don't have sati sampajana, daily mindfulness and clear comprehension. You cannot see. Your mind is not sensitive enough. That's why step 4 and 5 is very important. When you have these two, your sense restraint, automatic. Your 5 precepts, you cannot break. So to see the mundane mind, you have to be very, very attentive, observant, mindful, aware. When you are silent without thought, all activity that move from the mundane mind, you can see. Do you understand? If you are heedless, what are you doing? Heedlessly thinking, worrying, planning, reacting, preoccupied with the emotion, the thought process, the desire, the craving, the wanting. When your mind is heedlessly lost in thought and anger, that's how people develop depression, misery, suffering. Then they say cannot sleep. Then they say so much problem. I already told you the world don't have problem. You sure never agree on where I got such thing as no problem. Everywhere there is problem. I say when you have the wisdom, technically there is no problem. When you have wisdom to perceive things as they are without negativity, everything is just the way it is. There is no problem. Yeah. Like a lot of people told me just now on the car while we come. The first question, the three Kayamita that met me, PG came, but he just arrived from Penang, so he cannot attend. Pratio, what is happening in our country? Then NG today sent in that one. That's why I stopped all this for the time being, because people already panic, and you shoot this out thing, you create more fear and emotion. But not everybody has the Dhamma yet as well. Then after that, Jin Hao also said, "Whoa!" Again, another story. Then Polian also. Or then my wife also, "Whoa, now they are there, they are there." Why must you react to all this? What did the Buddha tell you? Condition like that, things will be like that, etc. Because our country consciousness, it will evolve. It will condition and trigger all these things. You think by having the fear, the panic, you can solve it? You can improve it? You create more negativity or mind state. That's why be heedful, be mindful. Then somebody at least say the right thing. Radiate love, radiate metta. Not too bad. Have good mind state. You can wish for the well-being of the nation. Just like after the class, we did that. Devo vasatukalena. That invoke the imina and all those things. So, a lot of this, the individual must change, means we must transform our mind. Because people with this understanding are not many, very little. Whatever happened, don't perceive it in negativity. You perceive it in negativity means what? Panic already. Understand? Worry already. Oh, how? You bought your thing already. After like Singaporean kiasu, toilet paper also buy and you finish. Why you want to do that? No point. Do you understand? Have clarity of mind aware. With the Dhamma, you will know how to understand things. Then don't listen to all those rumors. Sometimes it's better to meditate than to read all those rubbish. Understand? Huh? True or not? Maybe you think it's exciting. When you receive a nice WhatsApp, oh, then very happy. Then you forward. Okay, ready. Then somebody told me, the situation is so fluid. One moment like that. They say like, Usia Xiaosu. When you have the understanding, you don't behave like the normal people anymore. You will know how to look at things. Develop the understanding. Even coronavirus. You perceive it with wholesomeness, how will you look at it? That's why you must develop your own understanding. Of course, it started from Wuhan, then spread China very fast. So the key thing is spread very fast. That is a fact, not a doubt, not a idea or fiction. That is a fact. So what you need is, if you learn from it, it helped a nation and it helped us. Every one of us must keep to the hygiene. Understand now? Then, wash your hand more often. Then, make sure you don't simply spread all this type of thing. Not only rumor, that virus also is. When you are sick, not feeling well, that's why Suyan want to write for the Kayan Mita. Stay at home. Listen to the recording. That is to protect yourself and protect others. Otherwise, do like Adam. Is Adam here? No, huh? Or Rani, no, then better don't come. You put a mask, understand? So at least the mask protect you and protect others. But it's too bad, stay at home, rest. You need to rest. Actually, when you are sick, it's your body's way of telling you you have not enough rest and you have abused your body. Do you understand? These are the telltale signs. When your body is not feeling well, means something is not right already. Either you ate the wrong thing, or you overexert yourself, or you did things that stress your body until it develop all the ulcer, gastric, everything, and depression. That's when you are mindful, aware, you will know. In the early days of my cultivation area, every time when I suddenly saw something not right, you know why it's not right or not? Like the karma not so good already. Like suddenly, how come your tire punctured? Then, not only tire punctured, two or three things also like that one happened. Then I straight away take action already. I straight away ask for forgiveness already. Then I radiate love and metta after that. Then I tell myself, I have to be mindful, I have to aware, develop the awareness. Then I develop the understanding by the power of whatever wholesomeness that this nature might have cultivated. May it has the causes and conditions to overcome all this, so that all this will be mitigated and amicably resolved. During the early days, I did a lot. That's why every time I see the sign coming, I know already. Have to pay back on, but very little. Then after, I think, a period of 3 to 6 months, I don't have any more until today. don't have anymore. So a lot of things, when you have Dhamma, you will know how to deal with it, attend to it. You don't have to panic. Then the statistics about coronavirus. You remember that day? The newspaper? Star? He give you the statistic. Normal flu, influenza, kill how many a year? A day or a year? A year. 4,000 something. I think, I don't know how long, 4,000 something. Then the next one is less. Then the next one. Then when it comes to coronavirus, 0.something% only, you know. The number is less than even 2 digits. You know? And you are not afraid of influenza, flu. You are not afraid of all those heart attack, stroke, and all those things that kill more. A road accident kill the most. And you are not afraid. You still style, drive like a hero. But this one, hardly anybody died. You panic until like that. Whole China, 70 to 80,000 kena, only 2,000 over died. And that statistic is considered high. Your 2,000 over is about 3%. But out of that Wuhan, very low. The highest one is about 1%. But outside of Wuhan is 0.0 something, very low. So don't go and panic. And most of them survive. Do you know every day now how many come out of the thing? New cases drop until very low. 2 days ago was about 500 something. Right? The one that recovered is 2008. Now should be 3,000 something or 4,000. So all this you have to understand. So hygiene is one thing you learn. So I look it as something positive. I perceive it wholesomer. If China did get this, the whole world didn't know what will happen. It will spread like anything. That's why when China did that, they all think, ayo, why China must go and lock down the whole city? And now they know. Like Sui Han just now, when I came in, he shared, one church member kena that thing. Then at Korea, attended 4 church meetings, the whole country suddenly shoot out to 600 something and don't know how many did. Then after that, Iranian also kena. Also did. Then now, Europe, Italy. Italy suddenly panic also, like the Korean. Everywhere they go and what? Sterilize. Sterilize the thing. Lockdown. But they all different. They lock down the hotel. They lock down the train. They lock down places where they feel that they have the, they haven't have the means to lock down the whole city. You know what is locking down the whole city? I heard from Padma Suri. She said the doctor told her she is in Shanghai. No? You know how they lock it down? No? You cannot come out. You want anything? Go online. They will deliver to your university hostel. Doorstep. Then when you receive the notice, you want to go and collect, you have to pass through 4 checkpoints where they check you. Then when you take the thing and go back again, check. That's how they control. And you know how many citizens in Wuhan or they locked down? 18 million. It's like locked down half of Malaysian population. No? You think easy? They have the people. They mobilize the community and all those things. You do all those things. And the government spend a lot of money. Just now, who told me already? Jing Kiao, see? He said, China is the only country that spends so much money to protect its people. You think other countries have the resources or means or not? Not easy. So now, after it happened to Korea, Italy, now Croatia also can. It's in Croatia. They got a few Croatians went to Italy where the place kena, come back kena really positive. Already. So now they panic already. So now the world, WHO guy, he said, last time I told you China did a great job, you don't understand, you don't believe me. Now you know why. They can lock down the whole city and prevent the spread. And it's contained. Now only you start to panic. So when you understand, you develop the understanding, you don't panic, understand? Then you play your part. If each and every one of us play our part, the country will be safe. And we are doing very well, do you know? All of those Kena suspects are all out already. We are actually coronavirus free, technically. Technically, according to government statistics. Then the other thing is also, nobody died. Then they flew back from Wuhan. First plane load, all negative. After quarantine, come out already. Now the second flight just came in. They want to know yet. Quarantine, but no positive yet. Don't have positive case yet. Or you hear rumor again. Oh, what type of news? Your news is WhatsApp news. Oh, radio. Yeah, what was the case? Yeah lah, they quarantine them there lah. You say kena already. That's big difference. I someone ask you rumor or what? You say in the news. Everybody heard what I say. You say, one case is Ramban kena already. Never mind. Sometimes you're not careful. What you say can really become very, very. So have the Dhamma, understand. Do not panic, do not fear. Perceive it with understanding and wholesomeness. Then tell yourself, how can you contribute? How can you help? Like Krishnamurti say, to change the country consciousness, the individual must change. That's why we do our part, whatever we can. Then we develop good mind state. That's how you overcome all this, and you can help out. But if you do the opposite, panic and spread this type of fake news and rumor, everything also sent, then you create more panic. That's why sometimes, to you, it's like, very good, alert people, I care for them. Actually, you create more. Do you know when you send out one, your list is don't know how many. Then there are so many, assuming 50% set. The second tier, you know how many? 1 to 50. 50 to 2,000. So, a lot of these things, we have to really understand that. But some articles that are good, informative, helpful, yes, by all means, I welcome you to share. not that, but don't go and create that type of especially now, those sensitive political ones, please. Because it will get us into trouble, understand? You don't know how people behave. Then sometimes they take from your website, then they think exciting, they also send. Then kena caught for fake news. Trace all the way back, Kayan Mita started. I tell you. You don't play. For no reason. We are Kayamita, we end up having political discussion. So avoid. Sometimes you want to create awareness so that people understand political situation better. You have to choose very good article. Otherwise, if possible, don't use that one. Use another one, set up another one. Then I leave it to you. So these are the things that can help you. If you understand the Dhamma, you have the understanding, you will know how to avoid all those things that will bring about negativity. And the best guideline to resolve all this amicably through wisdom and understanding is Noble Eightfold Path. Have right view to understand all this. Then accept the reality. We are conditioned like that, thing is like that. Why panic? Why go and worry? Why straight away meet somebody? How die already lah? What to do ? Then next day, I think bo tai chi liao, ho liao. Of course, you can talk to your wife and your spouse that way, huh? But go out, don't go and create all this. But if you have the understanding, you will not do that. That's why I always tell my wife, don't panic. Just read with understanding. Sometimes the thing they write, not possible one also, people panic. Like that already. I say, use a bit of understanding to understand how this thing can happen. Cannot. But certain things, they have certain possibility. Logic. Yeah, it's possible. But so what? Condition like that, things will be like that. Understand? The world is the world. Consciousness that evolve will actually condition all these things to arise. And there's a lot of useful understanding. You call it Dhamma, that you can observe through this. You see the conditioning and how this event take place. Then of course a lot of people will comment. In the midst of one crisis, coronavirus, then these people create some more, another one. So my advice is simple. Develop the understanding, don't panic. Perceive it with wholesomeness, learn from it, and contribute. Be positive. Don't go and add any negativity or mind state, and don't go and spread all this and create more fear and more panic. Okay? So this one is something for you tonight. But don't go and tell people, brother, that you talk politics. Coronavirus, okay. Yeah, this Sunday, I see you got time or not. I may share a bit. Depend on the condition. I prefer them to ask me questions. You want you ask me question, then I explain. The mic. Jin Hao also say, a lot of his overseas friends, Jin Hao, your country gone. Yes.
About, see that was about, 2 to 3 weeks ago, So when we are in India, they go WhatsApp us and say, "Oh, Malaysia, no more face masks, please buy back face masks, Hey, buy the box one, one box 100, 3-ply one, make sure 3-ply and not 2-ply, 2-ply one." You know, they specify everything, so we think big problem, really. So yeah. Come back. Nobody wear face masks on. So what happened? I don't know what happened to all the face masks.
They say the Singaporean and the Hong Kong, they book all. I think you all heard this joke. The best joke was Indonesia. Do you realize or not, Indonesia, the health minister? He said, we call back, don't know, is it true, 700 from Wuhan, all tested negative. Huh? True, huh? Because they eat what? Tempeh. Or curry. Then, the most mysterious is the Princess Cruise. They got, don't know, 100 something. I think, crew member, a lot of those on the ship, 600 over tested positive. The 100 plus come back, tested negative. From that princess of the cruise. And the health minister make a statement. See, Indonesia don't have coronavirus. Why you all so stupid? Go and buy the mask until one box, $25. In the news. He told the citizen, "Napa takut? Bodoh," he said. Rush for the mask. Sini tara virus. I mean, as a joke. Then, do you realize there's another country's health minister kena positive? Iran. You think it's a joke? Then, my wife told me, Xi Jinping's what? Reporter. What? His personal. Not Xi Jinping. Who? Thailand. Abe, Japan, sorry. Abe, his personal secretary or the press something to do with the press, also tested positive. So they want to quarantine Abe. So a lot of these things, that's why be careful, not easy. That's why a lot of China doctors also sacrifice and die. Because these are their heroes. They really sacrifice. They really want to help. For us here, once they ask you to volunteer, I tell you, you won't, don't know hide anywhere. Cannot find you. But China, they volunteer. And Chin Hao just now told me before we come, he said, those group of nurses from the Norwich province, they have very nice long hair, all cut now, and wear that clothing. Yeah, shave. Yeah. Yeah, so that hygienic and other things. They sacrifice. And they volunteer to go there. So develop this type of gratitude, understand? Then look at the virtue that people can have. They can sacrifice even at the risk of having that coronavirus. But they also know the risk is very low, but because you are in the Wuhan epicenter, understand? Even though 2,000 plus or 3,000 died, but the probability, because you are in the epicenter, the percentage actually went up. It's still about 3% or what is considered quite high. 3% of what is infected actually died. That statistic is quite high. So fast, 10:30 already. Oh, so we end. The short note, you go back and read yourself, the rest. They are very good. I also draw about the creation one. That one is in the Han Sutta book also. How from the true mind, or the source. Then the first one that come out is your true mind, the pure awareness. Then from there, created the mundane mind. Then the mundane mind created the phenomenal world of consciousness. That's how creation takes place. So to reverse all this, you have to reverse. Means you have to develop the wisdom to actually look beyond form, see beyond mind, so that the phenomenal world of consciousness has got no power over you. Then you can return all this phenomenal world of consciousness to the mundane mind. Because the mundane mind is the one that created and projected this. So when you know how to return, then you know the moment you allow the mundane mind to cease, you will return to your true mind. Do you understand? That is what meditation is all about. Return the phenomenal world of consciousness to your mundane mind. Because you know this is the one that creates. Then when you meditate, what you do? Silence your mundane mind. Understand or not? When you silence your mundane mind, you realize your true mind. So all creation finished. That's how you can awaken and become enlightened. Then no more delusion. No more ignorance. That's why all of real meditation is silent. To realize the silent mind, the true mind, which is the meditative mind. And when you understand this, you can meditate very easily. Especially this retreat, I tell you, a lot of you, because I was told a lot of new one. A new one, clean slate, very easy. Oh, when is the book coming out? Unique code. Saturday, it can be ready, good, then we will distribute to those who are going for the retreat. Good. Sadhu, let us thank Paman Suri and Brother Tio and those who help us. Sadhu. You will get a copy of this new book, Unique Code. All about the true mind and the mundane mind and the meditation. The true nature, everything. You read through that one with understanding, then you use the marker to mark. It will transform your understanding. But if you don't have all this code to guide you, you can never make any head or tail out of what I share. Like, Angie, after so long, he still asks that question, what is the spiritual nature and the true nature, is it the same thing? It shows she haven't developed the understanding, because the understanding is not easy, not easy. Mm. So not only her, I think most of you also cannot, except those who already developed the cultivation. Quite a lot of Kayana Mita, they know all these things already. But this has been shared quite often. Mm. Okay. So go back and read the rest. We don't have time to finish off. So we will do the sharing of merits. The retreat briefing is this coming Saturday, 9:30 at my house. Suyan already sent out the notice. So you... Okay. You come and have a look. You come and have a look, then you tell me can or not. 120 also can. It's 2 units of 24 by 80. Well, my neighbor 10 years ago decided to sell to me. Oh, 12 years ago, not 10 years ago. 2008. 12 years ago, decided to sell to me. So maybe blessing in disguise. And that time I need the space. Well, Kaya Mita getting bigger and bigger. More and more people. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits. Okay, let us recall to mind of all the wholesomeness that we have developed. All the Dhamma sharing, the meditation, and whatever wholesomeness that we have developed over the past 2 hours or so. And we would like to share all this with all beings who can receive them, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasana ittawata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Deo wasatu kalena sasa sampati hetu cha. Fito bhavatu loko cha, raja bhavatu dhamiko. Imina punyang kamena, mame bala samagamo, satang samagamo hotu, yava nivana patiya. Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Thank you.
Thank you. there's one more class here on March the 5th. March the 12th, we're going to take a break because it's just before the retreat, we're going to do some preparation. March 19th, we're in Cameron. So after March the 5th, the next class here will be
March the 26th. Oh, send all it. So next week, March the 5th, the class is here. March the 12th, we are taking a break because it's just before the retreat, some preparation. Then March the 19th, we are in Cameron for the retreat. So the next time the class will be back here, after March the 5th, will be March the 26th. Tonight, quite a big crowd, almost 30 of us.